Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Shortly after Jesus predicts that Peter is going to deny him three times, he's arrested, and he stands before Caiaphas in the court, ready to condemn him to death. And Jesus is asked if he is the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And then Jesus, in the most remarkable of all words, says, "I am, and you." And now, of course, he's speaking directly to Caiaphas and the court condemning him to death, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." In other words, he was saying that he was Yahweh, the God of Israel. He was the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. He was the one who would ultimately come as the judge, the sovereign judge of all of Israel. And that the very court that was now condemning him to death would see him come in power and glory. The reaction was swift and severe. They began to spit at him. They blindfolded him. They struck him with their fists. They mocked him, saying, "Prophesy." And then the guards took him and beat him. And at this very moment, Peter is standing in the courtyard, and he is faced with identifying himself with Jesus Christ or saying, "I don't know him." And at that moment, the prophecy of Jesus Christ is about to be fulfilled. Well, this scene is replayed for us in dramatic audio theater on the Word of Promise. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment and immerse yourself and hear the Bible come alive as Peter is about to deny his master.
"Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said,
'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.'
'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.'
And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by,
'This is one of them.'
But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again,
'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.'
Then he began to curse and swear,
'I do not know this man of whom you speak.'
A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him,
'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.'
And when he thought about it, he wept."
Of course, you're listening to the Word of Promise. It is the most spectacular product I've ever been able to talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm hooked on it. I listen to it every single day in the car. And it now is complete, not just the New Testament, but the entire Bible, 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. The Word of Promise audio Bible features a star-studded cast, motion picture sound effects, a captivating original music score. You can experience the Bible like never before. It's dramatized in a way that will fully immerse you in the Word of God. And the advertisement says this, it will leave you wanting more. And that is precisely how I feel. Every time I get out of the car, I can't wait to get back in the car because that's where I listen to the Word of Promise. But you can listen to it anywhere. And this star-studded cast of characters includes a guest that joins me right now, Rebecca St. James. She plays the servant girl you just heard that talks to Peter after he denies Christ. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you. You, of course, are a multiple Dove Award and a Grammy Award-winning singer. You're a songwriter. You're a musician. You're an actor. You're an author. And I want you to talk to people for just a moment, Rebecca, and tell them why you wanted to be involved in this project, what it means to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, the spoken word, as you've just said, is incredibly powerful, and especially the way that this project is presented is incredibly powerful because it's so theatrical. And I was very honored to just play a small part in this project, but I mean, you just hear that little clip that you just played, and it just draws you in because of how beautifully it's presented. And so I was just honored to be a part of such a powerful project.
You know, people, Rebecca, today are largely biblically illiterate, and one of our passions, certainly my passion, is to get people into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them because it's transformational. And this becomes one other avenue to get people intoxicated by the Bible as opposed to having the Bible merely gather dust.
Yes. Yeah, I love the whole concept of the Word of God washing us, that when we listen to it, it just washes us clean. And I just know, you know, in my own life, I mean, I live in Los Angeles, you know, I'm traveling a lot. And it's just very easy, if I'm not careful, if we're all not careful, to adopt worldly mindsets, to let sin kind of encroach on us, just even in our thoughts. And I love that projects like this just wash us. They wash us clean. They remind us of the truth. And it's a good addition to having a daily quiet time with God. You know, reading the Bible, having devotional books and nonfiction books that we're reading that are encouraging our relationship with God. It's just a wonderful, wonderful addition. My mom, you know, is also a big fan, like you just said, of listening to the Word in the car, like you just said. And so I think it's a wonderful ministry tool.
So often, particularly in a media-driven culture, people are familiar with the latest stars, and certainly you're one of them. But talk about the necessity to know the biblical characters that, in this particular case, the stars are representing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they become like role models for us. You know, what we focus on in our minds definitely influences us. And I've spoken to teenagers for many, many years and spoken about saving sex for marriage and the abstinence message. And one of the things that I have said in that is just be careful what you put in your mind because it will impact your life. So if you're watching or listening to negative things, it will come out in your life. And it, you know, on the other level, if you're putting pure God-honoring things like Philippians 4:8, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, you know, think on these things. If we're, you know, encompassing our minds with things that are God-honoring, then that's going to come out in our lives. The fruit of that will be exhibited. And so, it's encouraging, Hank, to hear just your passion, not only for this project, but just constantly day in, day out, encouraging people to be in the Bible.
Rebecca, talk for a moment about what it's like to be in Hollywood today. I've often said that pagans are going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans, but we as Christians, no matter where we find ourselves, have to exercise our job description, which is being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. How difficult is that in Hollywood these days?
Mm-hmm. Well, I moved out here a year ago for that specific purpose. I felt called to be involved, you know, as a Christian in the mix in Hollywood, helping, you know, doing my little part to shape content. And I'd done a couple films, VeggieTales piece and a few different things before moving out here. But in the last year, I've been involved with two faith and family films and then a family film. And just seeing God's principles being honored in film has been so encouraging to my heart. And honestly, Hank, I have been incredibly encouraged to find passionate believers in this town that are wanting to change the world through this medium. And I feel like Water Promise is the same kind of work. You know, it's theatrically driven in that the voiceovers are so dramatic. The audio is so dramatic. But I've met so many Christians in this town, so many production companies, actors. I have a wonderful community, Christian community. So even though, you know, it seems like such a dark town, and in a lot of ways is, I think, you know, I have met so many people here who are passionate about honoring God with this art form that I've honestly been very encouraged.
You are starring in a new movie called Sarah's Choice. What's that all about?
Yeah, it's a pro-life film. And Hank, I was so excited because God allowed me to connect with a crisis pregnancy center here in L.A. through a couple friends who supported that ministry. And so I went to a few different events with them. And I saw that there was a need for art, you know, films, music, projects that really encouraged this pro-life message. And so then fast forward to a couple months later, I was asked to audition for this film called Sarah's Choice and got the role. And so God had already prepared me not only with a passion for this message, but also I knew exactly who to go to for research material. So my character, it's kind of like a bit like Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, in that my character gets to see what life would be like if she chooses life. So she has three visions and gets to see what her child at 6 weeks old, her child at 6 years old, and then grown with her own child. And my character, Sarah, is not a Christian at the beginning of the film, so she's feeling pressure from some people in her life to choose life, some people to have an abortion. And so it's a very human struggle, but she gives her life to Jesus. She chooses life, and it's a very heartwarming tale. We were just in Boston this last week for a film festival, a Christian film festival, showing it, and we've been thrilled with the response.
I can't wait to see it. Carl Amari, who, of course, is the producer for The Word of Promise, audio dramatized Bible, tells me that you are a listener to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. How long?
Well, I just love what you guys are doing. I think anyone, like I said before, that is standing by the Word of God and encouraging people to read the Bible and be daily in it and to be washed by the Word of God, like we were just sharing about, I am a huge fan of. So thank you for what you are doing, and I just love it. And I just, you know, let me know however I can partner with you in ministry, because I think what you're doing is a wonderful, wonderful work.
Rebecca, thank you for being a partner on the broadcast today.
My pleasure.
God bless you.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Look forward to talking to you again. The Word of Promise, again, we're talking about the dramatic presentation of the Bible. It's dramatic audio theater. It's incredible product. It will absolutely, as Rebecca was just talking about, wash through your life, change your life. Meditating on Scripture becomes the missing link between the intake of Scripture and effective prayer life. And of course, prayer is our opportunity to build a relationship with the lover of our souls. So again, I can't be more enthusiastic about a product than I am about the Word of Promise. We feature it here regularly on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We want to put it into your home. You can get it on MP3, just 11 discs for the entire Bible on CD. And when you get the package, you'll think you just got a piece of furniture. It's affordable, but most of all, life transformational. You can order online at equip.org on the World Wide Web. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28. 888-888-2271. And of course, you can always talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. On the other side of the break, we'll go right to your questions. Your questions today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we wouldn't be producing a world acclaimed magazine called the Christian Research Journal. You can see it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order today. And if you can, stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. If you can, you can do that again in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me. Once again, here's the address, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And we'll be right back in just a few moments with your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
The superb acting, incredible sound effects, and the moving musical score make the Word of Promise a very powerful tool to enhance your personal worship or Bible study experience. The Word of Promise transports listeners back to a time of world-changing events. Listening to the Word presented in dramatic audio theater format helps any size group, from church congregations to small groups to youth groups, comprehend the Scripture more fully. You can also download to your iPod. It makes the Bible come alive. Order the Word of Promise Complete Audio Bible, Old Testament or New Testament versions in dramatic audio theater in either CD or MP3 CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Order today and receive free shipping. Don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back.
Are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Thank you. equipping you and your family to defend your faith and grow in your knowledge of who God is. That's our mission at the Christian Research Institute, and we do it through listeners like you.
One day I was scanning the radio station looking for something to listen to, and I ran across your guys' broadcast here in Nebraska, and you guys helped bring me and my family back to the Lord, and now we're back going to church, and I'm getting more involved in our church, getting involved in Bible studies, and I just wanted to say thank you for everything you guys do for all of us out here.
If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And when you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team right now, I'd love to send you a great little resource. It's about essential Christian doctrine. It's a laminated flip chart, but you can have in your pocket or purse the very thing that you've given your life to, essential Christian doctrine, not only what it is in a memorable format, but why you believe these essentials of the historic Christian faith. Why do you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? You have it there in bullet form so that you can inscribe it upon the tablet of your consciousness. Again, for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, we will continue touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. And as my way of saying thank you, I'd love to send you that resource. So please ask for the Doctrines Flip Chart when you send in your donation or call in your donation or ask for your donation on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone lines, talk to Jean. She's listening on XM170 in Macon, Georgia. Hi, Jean.
Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, the Bible says that in heaven there will be no suffering or pain or envy, just happiness. And so if that's the case, then the Christians, say, who do very little for the kingdom, as opposed to those who devote their whole life, will they be less happy than because they do not get rewards, as opposed to those who really work hard for the Lord?
Yeah, a couple of things about that. One of the things I would like to point out in answering this question is that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he says, if anyone builds on that foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or conversely wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And I've pointed this out in my book, Resurrection, but Paul is illustrating the sober reality that some Christians will be resurrected with little to show for the time they spent on earth. They'll be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And that's going to be the lot of even the most visible Christian leader whose motivation was selfish as opposed to selfless, who was doing what he was doing because of what it benefited him as opposed to how it benefited the kingdom. So I think we have to recognize the foundation is Jesus Christ, but you can build on that foundation and as a result receive rewards in heaven, which has to do with enhanced spiritual capacities. My dad used to explain it when he was alive by saying that it's like having different pails of water. They're completely full, but they have different capacities. And so I have taken off from that illustration and said, well, that's one way of saying it. Another way of saying it is if you happen to be a golfer and you're playing golf with Tiger Woods, you can have an absolutely exhilarating experience, but you're not going to be able to experience the round in the same way that he is able to experience the round, because he has enhanced physical capacity. So he can experience golf at a different level than I can, for example. I think all of these, though, are pale illustrations for how it will be. We know that heaven is a real place, that we are going to experience relationships with one another in heaven. We're going to experience a relationship with God. We're going to learn and grow and develop, although without error, but we are going to continually advance because humanity cannot bear the burden of omniscience. So we're going to grow and we're going to have capacities to grow. And just as we have different gifts here, I would suggest that we will have different gifts there. We're not going to be all molded from the same cookie cutter. The DNA that makes you is still the DNA that makes you, and the DNA that makes me is still the DNA that makes me. But we're metaphysical beings that have spiritual, mental capacities in eternity. And Jesus Christ is very clear. We should work for our rewards. Again, not in a selfish way, but in a selfless way as crowns, which we throw at the feet of the Master.
Okay.
Does that help in any way?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, but so, you know, I've read books on, you know, that we should strive to have rewards in heaven, you know. But I thought if there's no sadness, no degrees of sadness or less happiness, then it really, it just seems like it wouldn't matter.
Well,
we're all going to be very happy regardless.
Well, of course. But remember, yeah. Why are you working for rewards? Are you working for rewards because of some selfish purpose, or do you want to please the Master? Do you want to hear the words of Jesus Christ saying, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, that's going to be the quintessential moment for everyone when they stand before the Lord and he gives you a reward, a crown of righteousness or a crown of glory. And so I think that we work because we want to hear the commendation of our Lord, and we want to please him. So we don't work for salvation, but we work from salvation because we want to please our Lord.
Right.
And so the rewards come as a result of that. I point this out in my book, Resurrection, under a chapter on rewards. And I say this, why do people punish their bodies to run a grueling marathon race? Most runners name two benefits, a sense of personal reward, and then the physical benefits of the exercise. And the same two rewards apply in the spiritual realm. There are great prizes that await those who persevere, and the very process of living by faith builds character. So in this race, no one loses. If you finish, you get the reward. It's also likened to what happens in the games in the ancient world. So Paul uses the imagery of crowns to portray the enduring reality of eternal reward, and he promises that when Jesus Christ returns, we're going to receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And he contrasts that with the fading character of a garland of leaf-like gold that's awarded to the winner of a race. Our reward will be a garland of grace that will never fade, an enduring reminder that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And therefore, Peter is saying, live with eternity in mind. What you do now counts for all eternity. How it cashes out exactly, we don't know, because we're looking through a glass darkly. Then we'll recognize the reality of what a reward means. But we should never fail to heed the words of our Master, who says, Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. If Jesus says that, I suppose we should listen to his exhortation and therefore work not for salvation, but from salvation. And that is meeting the needs of other people, binding the wounds of the brokenhearted, giving a cup of cold water to those that are thirsty, giving the bread of life to those who are hungry. So we need to do that because we love Christ, we've received a gift, and we now have the opportunity to be the agents through which that gift goes to other people. So that should be enough. That should be reward enough if there isn't anything beyond that. But the Bible says there is. While we can't completely understand how it will be, if Christ exhorts us to work not for that which perishes, but for that which is eternal, we should heed that exhortation.
Right. Well, let me ask you, have you read Randy Alcorn's book on heaven or on rewards?
Well, I have.
Are you familiar with
any
of his writings? I mean,
yes,
do you think they're good?
Yes, I've had him on the broadcast a number of times. We have disagreements on secondary issues, on essential Christian doctrine. We are in complete agreement, and I have quoted him in some of my books. I very much appreciate his passion for our Lord and his work.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you
All
so
right.
much for your
God
call.
Bless you.
God bless you. And I want to go to another call. Right now, we'll go to Kate in New York. New York. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I'm calling because I've been looking through the scriptures and trying to find an answer. I am very just vexed in my spirit and angry and hurt and very confused with just a couple of decades now of just issues that's been going on in my family, being my my mom, my sister, and I. You know, we also have a brother and a father involved, but this particular issues between mostly my mom and my sister and I. I have a sister that I believe is either bipolar or schizophrenic. I also have a another aunt that's been researching it too, and we both seem to think that, and we took it before my mom, which to try to get my sister some help, because I live out of state, and they live in Louisiana, and my sister lives with my mom, and my sister just caused a lot of confusion in the family. She's bisexual. She has three daughters by three different guys, and she's not sure who the father of the youngest child is. She doesn't hold a job. She's completely dependent on my mom financially, which my mom is has been retired from her job a year now. But she's angry all the time when I go home to visit, which is on average about once a year. She always.
I don't know what just happened to Kate, but I was just thinking as she was speaking, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
Don't Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for Students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for Students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith. Many of our valued listeners and Christian leaders have encouraged us in our mission.
Hello, this is Jack Graham of Prestonwood Church, and I want to take just a moment to say a word about my very, very good friend, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man program. In a day in which truth is so often on the scaffold, it is so vitally important that Christians think clearly and biblically, and this is why Hank Hanegraaff gives us the straight stuff when it comes to the Word of God, the testimony of Christ, and the support of this ministry and the program, the Bible Answer Man, is so very important because it keeps this program not only on the air, but it keeps truth before our hearts and in our minds. So to all the listeners of the Bible Answer Man, you receive so much from this program, and your life is no doubt changed by the power of truth. So I want to encourage you to support this ministry in every way possible, certainly with your prayers, certainly by listening every time you can, and then your financial support.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, receive Hank's Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart as our gift to you. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And right back to Kate in New York. In New York, she was asking about this whole issue of dealing with difficult people. And I was thinking about the words of our Lord who says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, obviously, we cannot completely keep the law. That's the point of the Sermon on the Mount. That's why Jesus Christ did what we could not do in our place. But we should strive to show the love of Christ in the most difficult circumstances, not just with our friends, but with our enemies as well. And that would certainly encapsulate those who are very difficult people, Kate. And I certainly don't want to be cavalier about your situation. You've got a difficult situation, but in the process of interacting with difficult people, you yourself will be changed. And that's the point. You can't change them. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you can be changed as a result of the Holy Spirit working through you and in you within the context of your conversations.
So I've been kind of conflicted with the scriptures from Matthew chapter 10 and verses 9 through 15 that talks about where peace doesn't abound to dust your feet off, and then also with Romans 12, 9 through 21 that talks about how to try to live with peace with everyone. And so it's just such a miserable experience that when I'm at home, I want to love her, and I don't know if I should put myself in a position to keep going home while she's living there, knowing that it's so much chaos that's there. And just from different Christians that I've been getting counseling from, I've been getting mostly the fact of when you try and she's not receptive of it, or she's taking you through an emotional roller coaster to step back. But
well, I think that's right. I think that's good advice. I mean, you can love her with your life, and you can demonstrate the reality of the love of Christ in the way that you act towards her, but you don't have to feel as though you have to be engaged in conversation and the arguments that go along with it, or when she's being irrational, trying to be rational with her. So often we feel as though we have to force feed. We don't. There's a time that you can withdraw. There's a time where you pray for God to make a change. But you're not the agent of change by necessity. You can be an instrument, but the ultimate agent or the author of that change is God. He can use you, but he can use a lot of other people as well. And prayer is firing the winning shot. And in some cases, people, because of lack of treatment for serious diseases, are in a state of irrationality, and therefore they simply cannot respond in an appropriate way. So to try to respond rationally with someone who's being irrational is irrational in itself.
Right. And okay, and so when I read in the Bible, for example, because I've just been looking at family stories of people that just been having a difficult time, and I look at the prodigal son, and I look at the story of Joseph and with his brothers, and in both examples I see where the individuals, they didn't actually go and pursue their family, but they were receptive to them. And it seemed like in both cases the family members had a broken and contrite spirit, a heart, and humbled themselves. And am I wrong for I know you say that I can step back, but in a sense of sometimes my sister will call and she act like nothing ever happened with the things that she did and ruining my trip home and making me have to go and stay with other family members and things. And is it okay to not take those calls? And because she's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's no big deal, and the next trip and the next vacation is the same thing. So would I be wrong to wait till God just really, not for her to get perfect, but just really at a place where she's really humbled and ready for a change to step back and try to have a relationship with her then?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think in the examples that you gave, you see, let's take the Joseph example. Joseph recognizes that his brothers meant something for evil, but God meant it for good. So God uses all things for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. So even in this trial, God is doing something. In fact, I shouldn't say even in the trial. I should say that God uses the trials and the difficulties of life to change us, to mold us, to make us ever more like Christ. Because if you think about it, Christ suffered every indignity known to humanity, and yet he prayed for his enemies. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we are called to be Christ-like. We'll never attain to the measure of grace that Christ has. But we are called to be Christians, followers of his, and our goal is to do what he did. I'll tell you, it's difficult. In my own life in ministry, not so much from a family standpoint, but from the stand of a ministry, I've had to go through some pretty rough times. You have people that persecute you. You have people that tell stories about you. You have false reports. You go through all these difficult things. But in the midst of that, you realize that God has a purpose. And we may not understand the purpose. Oftentimes I scratch my head and I say, why? But God doesn't answer that question. He does tell us this: we can trust him in the midst of our whys. So you're going through a difficult situation, but think about the fact that whether you understand it or not, God has a purpose in the suffering that you are experiencing.
Okay. Well, can I ask one more question?
Yeah, quickly. We got a lot of people hanging on.
Okay. In this same situation, how do I handle my mom in the sense of she's been an enabler, and my brother in a sense also, and they're kind of like feeling like, you know, I shouldn't take the position of, okay, let's step back and let her experience the things that she's bringing on herself for herself. And they seem like, they feel like I'm turning my back on her, but they are putting a Band-Aid on like a bullet wound. They want to do small things instead of actually getting her help or taking her to a counselor or a psychiatrist.
Well, I think you need to say, I think what you've just said is instructive. Say that with gentleness and with respect, because I think what you're saying has real value and merit. So often we want to disguise or cover up a problem rather than dealing with the problem. And also the point of enabling a person who's involved in bad behavior doesn't help them, but actually ends up hurting them. So I think you have some wise counsel there. And I would seek counsel from someone that is in a healthy, well-balanced church in your area as well. If we can help you with that, let us know. Kate, want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to William listening on KTAA in Longview, Texas. Hi, William.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I just have a quick question with some more background, if you'd like it. But I have a question about the efficacy of the Word. Is it necessary for a speaker to be entertaining or interesting in order for God's Word to be powerful for conversion?
Well, not necessarily. But there's not necessarily a thing wrong with being someone who exhorts with passion and with able vocabulary and so forth. But I think about one of the most epic sermons. It was preached in 1741, titled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon. And that sermon was actually a sermon written out in longhand and read in a monotone. And yet when he was finished with that sermon, people clamored their way to the cross. There was great revival that took place as a result of that sermon. And so there was nothing entertaining. There was something very sobering about the words, and yet those words, through the power of the Holy Spirit, had a dramatic impact. So we can exhort and encourage, we can equip, we can educate, but I don't think we're trying to entertain people by doing that. The passion is not meant for entertainment purposes, but rather transformational purposes.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
You got it. Thank you so much, William. Appreciate your call. And as we come to the close of this broadcast, a lot of you hanging on. I'm going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. We will continue taking your calls. So again, if you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll try to get to you as soon as possible the next hour, and we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And if you'd like to call in a question right now, you can do so as well. I'll try to get to your question as well. The number to dial right now at this moment would be 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And again, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If someone can give a gift of $100 or more, I'd love to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Every morning I have the privilege of going into my office, have a stack of them, and I sign them. And with each one of them, I thank the Lord for participation on the part of people in a ministry transforming lives. So again, for your gift of $100 or more, I'd love to send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. But do stand with us prayerfully and financially. This is a unique ministry. We're not trying to be politically correct or popular. We're just telling it like it is, because we know that we're given a given account for every word spoken on this broadcast, what we produce through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And so we take it seriously. We ask you to stand with us because we believe that truth matters. We do what we do because truth matters. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
To successfully defend the historic faith and be equipped as a light in this too often dark world, you need CRI's award-winning publication, Christian Research Journal, which probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reason for Christian faith and ethics. Call CRI and start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?